Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 28, 2016. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. And I don't say that lightly. You should have made that choice in your life a long time before now, because whether you think it's the time of the end or all of these terrorists are running around crazy, which they are, and all these things coming within our borders, which they are coming within our borders, you could die of cancer. Anything could happen to you. You need to be right with Yeshua now, because once you die, it's too late. It's too late to go back and repent once you're gone. So if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. You know, I'm really busy. Leave your name and number on your machine, and I will get back with you. If it's an emergency, you can reach me at 316-619-4886. The first number is 620-878-4682. Now, remember, I am busy, and so, you know, I get a lot of calls, and so I try to get back. And sometimes things just happen, and they get deleted. So it doesn't hurt for you to try a second time. Also, remember, we have an email address. You can send me your phone number from on email and tell me you need a prayer request, and I'll call with you as soon as I possibly can. You can find our email address along with updates, the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, all at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. Our program archives, again, can be found at prophecyhour.com. And I challenge you, to each one of you, to at least share this program with at least two or three others. Now, you know, you folks out there on Facebook, you put it on your Facebook, and some of you have 50 friends or 500 friends. You know, if you would just do that and share the radio programs and on your Facebook pages, then many, many more people will see it. If you're embarrassed at what you listen to, then, you know, you shouldn't be. And if you're not embarrassed at what you listen to, share it with others. Please, just share the link with others and say, hey, tune in, check this guy out, and do that. That will help immensely, and we really do need your help. And on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide. Places like Malmo, Sweden, Dublin, Ireland, Johannesburg, South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, Israel, Guyana, Paris, France, Valencia, Spain, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, St. Louis, Missouri, Detroit, Michigan, Dallas, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Stockholm, California, Buffalo, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, Newark, New Jersey. This list just goes on and on. And, oh, I'm supposed to say something about Plano, Texas. Okay, and remember, folks, pray about it. If the program is really getting out there, share it with others. And, of course, I won't forget you folks over there in Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they hit the podcast later tonight. And that's at branch.podomatic.com. But you can find out a link to that by simply going to prophecyhour.com or messiahsbranch.com, which messiahsbranch.com has a big listing of all our radio programs, especially recent. But the actual podcast, while it's just a link to it, the actual podcast is at branch.podomatic.com, which we're working on a different archive right now. Prayerfully, that'll get done within the next few months. But in the meantime, we had a kind soul. They worked with us, and we had somebody bless us with the money to pay for branch.podomatic.com, so it is paid up over there for the next year. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, did you notice with the at the Democratic Convention that there were all kinds of flags, like Palestinian flags and some communist ones? But there were the peculiar thing is there was no American flags there. Doesn't that seem a little peculiar? Democratic National Convention, no American flags. There was a version of the red, white, and blue. There were some flags, actually, night two after Trump, and some of the media took him to task about it. Now, what's amazing is the flags from the Philadelphia City Hall are gone. The flags that usually fly from the Philadelphia City Hall, now this is the city where the convention is going on, where are they at? I got this from the press. The Democratic National Convention press office has not responded to a Daily Caller press inquiry about whether the flags are now on their stage or from the Philadelphia City Hall. So what did the Democrats have to do? They didn't plan to purchase flags. That shows unless Trump would have said something, come on, how can you forget American flags? So what, they had to go loan out the flags to the Democrats from this City Hall? You need to think about that. That's what they think about our country. Is this your country? Are you a patriotic American? If you're not a patriotic American, and you probably shouldn't even be listening to this radio program unless you're just listening to it so you can gain garbage to give to other people, because we might tend to offend you. And you know what? I don't care if I offend you, because I'm not politically correct. I'm biblically correct. And I'm not America correct. I'm United States correct. And we'll get to that in a minute. You know, I also hear that flag pins and, you know, little flags, you know, that people carry around in there were banned. American flags, banned. American, United States flags, were banned not to offend anyone. I haven't seen any in the crowds. If you get a picture of one in the crowd, send it to me so I know that this story has to be wrong. I have not confirmed this yet, so if you have a way of confirming it, you see somebody waving an American flag around inside of the Democratic National Convention, then you send me that picture to elcm at messiahsbranch.org. Anyway, that brings us to the point. Why are so Americans so worried about offending somebody else with our flag? I mean, if the people that come to this country want to be in this country, why would they be offended with our flags? Why should we be offended by our nationalism? Because why? Because they're trying to turn us into a one-world government. Something, I think the Bible says something about that, doesn't it? The devil would try to bring the world all together, but you people that don't, you know, read your Bible or know much about end times, well, just don't worry about it, because it'll happen. That's what's going on. They've allowed our freedoms in America to be turned against us. That's how they've used this. Will we get a stay for a little while from all this evil that's come upon us? I don't know. They use politically correctness to shut down our biblical view and provoke views of what? Anarchy. Do you realize that these views that the Democrats have, I mean, I must be talking to a generation that never read history or been taught history, because, you know, when I was a kid, communism was a bad thing. You know, communism murdered millions and millions of people. Stalin did it, you know, in Russia. It's been a bad thing. Vietnam War was fought over it. We still have China. It's still a communist country. You know, people get murdered over communism. You know, they have no freedom of speech. People going around wearing Che Guevara t-shirts and things like that. And he was a murderer. He wasn't a revolutionary, a cool dude. He suppressed the people, and the people in Cuba have been suppressed ever since. And you people hold him up for as heroes, and some people wear Mayo Tung Sing or whatever his name is, T-shirts. Really, if you really lived under him, you probably wouldn't even be alive because of your views, but you don't. You let yourself be brainwashed by the left media. You got to turn on that TV set and look to the normal broadcast stations, and you allow Big Brother to brainwash you to where it's so easy now to come in and swoop down and tell you everything's normal. Just like they allow, you allow Hollywood to brainwash you into thinking it's okay to practically walking around nude on the street. And that goes for both males and females. What is wrong with your head? What is wrong with your head? Women, you're supposed to save your body for your husband. That's where that's supposed to go. And men, I know it's hard when you walk into a Walmart store and everybody's undressed. If you can't put blinders on your eyes, and don't walk into the store. You know, if you can't go to a beach, I mean, you know, so it's ridiculous. Anyway, if we don't choose Trump, that we have a choice in this country to make right now, and it is a choice. You can either choose good or evil. Now, I know the evangelicals have gotten behind Trump, and he has an evangelical for his vice president. No, I don't think either one of them are perfect. You're not going to find a perfect person for president. But the worst thing to do would be to vote for Hillary Clinton. Because if you voted for Hillary Clinton, you're voting for the Supreme Court justices that will be liberal. And then every vile thing will be made legal. You understand that? Number one, your nation will dramatically change. You people out there say, oh, we feel sorry for all these people from other countries. Well, you know what? We can help them in their own countries, and that's the best thing to do. But the only reason that we're letting them in is so that they can become Democrats and they can overwhelm the system. If they overwhelm the system crashes, and there has to be a new system done. You know what? This is a Marxist idea, but not only a Marxist, it is a Saul Alinsky idea, and that's who Obama and Hillary Clinton both are followers of. Anyway, let's go on from there. Anyway, right now, so you would lose, and you would lose freedom of speech. You know, they say freedom, and that's what they're saying right now. Freedom of speech is indeed hurtful. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You're going to hurt this poor person's feelings. You know, they had a school during the Republican National Convention that came on that said that all the rhetoric at the Republican Convention was hurting the feelings of all the students. Well, if it was hurting the feelings of the students, they should have just turned off the TV, not tried to get them to stop the convention. Come on. Anyway, and ladies, let's talk to the ladies about this. And so if you are pro-Muslim and you believe all bring in all of these Muslim people into the country, let's go first with this. Let's start it off. Muslims say that Allah has no son. He who denies the son denies also the father. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. That's in the Bible. You know, the Bible, that's the book you're all supposed to be reading. It's in the Bible. So they're Antichrist. The last time I checked, my Bible says there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. Only one way. You can't appease these people. You're supposed to witness to these people. You're not supposed to be tolerant of them in that sense. Where does the Bible say we're supposed to be tolerant? This isn't hate, it's love. That we want them to be saved so that they can spend an eternity with us and with the Father. We want them to be saved. You understand that? We want them to be saved. Really? To accept Yeshua HaMashiach. We want to offer them love, not violence. Love. That's not hate. Offering love is not hate. But let's suppose you bring in all these Muslims. Look over in Europe. Women are being raped all over the place. And in this case, it's being done by Muslims. Women are being gangbanged. They're being raped. They're being attacked. They're being fondled. But they were brought up and taught that women that do not cover themselves want to be raped. That's been in their upbringing since they were a child, since they could learn. That's been what's put in them. And so you bring them over to a country that has women, you know, dressed wool, and just call it modernly. or going to pools in a modern attire, then they think all these women are posthumous and want to be raped and fondled and so on and so forth. Is it really their fault, or is it the fault of the people that brought them over here that didn't teach them something different? If you're going to bring those kind of people into this nation, you need to at least teach them the right and the wrong, you know? And so bring them into the country is like bringing in a, go like this, folks. Imagine a football stadium, and it's full of people. Game's on. Yay! So you have people from all attires there. And, you know, it's a hot day, and so, you know, we have a lot of people there. Wow. Well, somebody lets a couple of three lions loose in this stadium, and they lock the gates. Now, the lions, it's not their fault. They were turned loose in the stadium, and they're just doing what come natural to them, to attack people. And so they start slaughtering. And so that's the same thing with bringing Muslims into your country. They're like a wild lion. The Bible says that these people would be a wild man. And that's who they claim to be. You know, they are wild men. And the Bible said that that's how they would be, is wild. And so that's what you're doing. You're turning lions loose into the population. In the United States, there's supposed to be one law, one nation, a nation built, and actually which was built after the Bible, after Torah. And the Torah does say, it says one law, one God, one nation. It also makes it clear that the stranger within your gates is supposed to abide by the same law and one people and worship one God. Really, this is what America was founded on. It is a Christian nation that was founded on biblical principles. The whole thing about freedom of religion was freedom so they could go with the American religion, which was Christianity. It didn't have anything to do with Muslims or anybody else. It had to do with Christianity. So they couldn't be suppressed again like King George. So King George couldn't, you know, he stepped in and tried to tell them how to worship. No, that's what they meant. They didn't mean what it's being used against us to mean now. Now we're supposed to appease them because of the corruptness that got into our schools and the colleges thanks to the communist left. That's where all of this came from. America, it's time to wake up. If you're not awake, you need to wake up. Tonight, Hillary is supposed to accept the nomination for president, you know, to run for president of the Democratic Party to run against Donald Trump. So is our father trying to be heard in this at all? Well, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, but listen just what happened to the Republican National Convention. And I'm just going to read the report. You can make your decision. Let me have a sip of water here. Philadelphia, CBS, wind gusts, heavy rains, lightning have forced people to evacuate the media tents outside the Wells Fargo Center and take shelter less than an hour before the opening gavel of the final night of the Democratic National Convention. Officials say that media tents in the vicinity of the Wells Fargo Center are not designed to fully protect the people in the event of a direct lightning strike. The Clinton-Cain post-convention rally moved out of the area to the Temple University. They're strongly recommending that people leave the tents due to the lightning that becomes a concern when the strikes are within a six-mile radius of the Democratic National Convention and to evacuate the Lincoln Financial Field nearby. People are being told to exit through the something tents at the corner of 11th Street and Zinkoff Boulevard north of the media pavilions and enter through the Lincoln Financial Field 11th Street gate. Just north of 11th Street gate. Anyway, from there they can proceed to the steps of the concourse and from both gates. People who need to access elevators are being directed to the lower concourse, blah, blah, blah. So they are, the area around the Democratic National Convention is being evacuated because of storms. The area has been under a flash flood watch as of 2 p.m. this afternoon, which will last through 6 p.m. Friday. So that means they have one huge storm that has dropped on there. Do you think in any small way that it's a possibility that our father is trying to bring our attention to something? Do you think that? Well, what do you think? let's go back to the Supreme Court a minute. So with the Supreme Court, we will have a lot of problems with the Supreme Court if let me try to get something here. Anyway, we'll have a lot of problems with the Supreme Court right now if we change to Democrats. Okay? Now, I want to play a song for you if I can get so let's play this song and then we'll talk. Then we'll come back and go to break and we'll talk some more.
My eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro. A burden fills my heart, and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know. The Bible says they're walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. With pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart, and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know. One more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. You're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard's ripe, the field is white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, and they know they're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know.
This is Pastor Dan Kaplan, and listen to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on American Voice, on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, before we get into anything else, you know, I want to remind you that, you know, just before we went out on break, I played a song that, you know, I really believe that's my heart. That's what I see going on in America, and people just won't wake up. But we do have to remember one thing, and that one thing that we need to remember is, He is in control, He hasn't lost control. While we might have lost control of things around us, he's still in control. And he's waiting for you to cry out to him. So listen to this song, and then we'll talk some more on the other side of it. Control. You know, that song was, that comes out of the 90s from my friend Brother Ben. I'm going to try and talk to him about getting another copy of the DVD. Well, back then it was a cassette tape. And I lost the original cassette tape that he gave me, and then part of it was on CD, and then some, and then the CD that I have now, some of the songs are gone for some reason. Like America, It's Time to Wake Up, you should really hear that. But they're wonderful songs. He used, and so in tribute to him, he did have a radio program called 70th Week Magazine, and it was only a 15-minute radio program on shortwave. That was all I could afford. And in that 15 minutes, he really woke up a lot of people. 15 minutes. Anyway, so it's not necessarily the amount that you talk. It's what you say during that talk. And so I'm trying to make this time with you important. And so you're going to find me talking much, much more to you in the late. And I am going to still continue to have guests. Back today, I've got a wonderful guest lined up for us today in my next program, the one that comes on at 7 p.m. Central. You'll really enjoy that one. But anyway, moving right along. So here's the point. We're going through tough times. Like today, you know, I woke up I've been kind of forced by somebody that works on my computers to get an upgrade on my computer. Now I can find none of my files on my computer thanks to the upgrade. They're there, but I don't know how to get access them. And then I turned on my radio computer, and I have to have another separate screen for that because that monitors the Skype. I can tell, you know, I've got a line that tells me how loud I'm speaking and that it's working and all that kind of thing. Well, that screen did not want to come on at all, and I kept playing with the cord. Now I'm looking at a pink screen with lines. I can barely see it, but it's critical, you know. And so that tries. But, you know, I seem to forget that he's in control. Even without that, I could have found or should have found some way just to bypass it. And just trust him, because we are in his hands. No matter how bad Satan the devil comes against us, that, you know, we are in his hands. And what is he trying to do? You know, we're like a tree. You know, if you just let your tree run wild, and this is just like your children, if you let a tree run wild or your children run wild, we'll talk about a tree. If you want a tree to grow right, you know, you prune it. You cut off the bad things. And my son even showed me this on my regular trees around my yard. He said, Dad, I know you like big trees. He said, but if you let me cut this and this off the tree, prune it, he said, it'll get much, much bigger and it'll look so much better. And so he pruned that tree and it blossomed those trees and they've grown twice as fast. I need to get him over here to do some more pruning. But that's what the Father is doing to us. He's pruning us for the harvest. And the harvest is the end of the world. Have you ever read, you know, you just read your Bible. It tells us we would be pruned so that we would produce fruit. And this song talks about that. So let's have one more song from Brother Ben right now.
Necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, whose Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. In time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us down. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful. Must be thankful. We've been pruned. Must be thankful.
That you've been pruned. That's what happens. You know, we're supposed to be refined in the fire. And you know, when a Christian, listen to this. Your father, it says the Father chastises those that He loves. And if He loves you, you know, it's just like my children. I look at my children, and when they do something wrong, you know, as they grew up, you know, I'm 61 years old now, and my last child is 15 years old, and he's sitting over there across the room from me. And I've been really enjoying my summer with him. And yeah, I have grandchildren, but you know, we're sharing things that, you know, I'm teaching him how to drive and so on and so forth this summer, and we're working out together. And so I'm really enjoying him. But, you know, if this son, if he does something wrong, then I prune him. You know, I tell him to turn away from the bad things that he's doing. And you know, he's a good son. He listens. You know, he's a good kid, you know, if it's possible to be good, so to speak. But He turns away, and that's what our Heavenly Father does to us. If we won't turn away from something on our own, a particular sin or something. And he loves us. He doesn't want it to continue on to where he has to get rid of us. So he prunes us. He puts us in fire to try to get us to call out to him, and so that we can be pruned, and so the bad stuff can come off. And so that's what he does. And he does that because he loves us, not because he's mad at us or hates us, but he does it because he loves us, so that he can bring us into us, so that we aren't counted as something reprobate and has to be, thrown off. You know, and this nation, I believe that this nation, I don't know if it's been called reprobate with the Father yet, and I don't know if it's Mystery Babylon, but what I do know is what's going on in this nation is just not right. You know, it's not right for same-sex, for people to get out there and destroy marriages over same-sex things, and you can't marry and produce a child unless you do it the world's way. Yeah, you can get married, be two females or two men, and you can get a child by either adoption or through, finding a surrogate mother. And they're in the process of getting now, test tube babies. They're making all those things possible. And then beyond that, you know, they're taking one of the most personal gifts that God the Father gave to us is when he told us to multiply and reproduce. You know, if we multiplied and reproduced like we are supposed to, then we wouldn't have to worry about being overcome by foreigners and those other people, because we would be producing a lot of children. But going on from that, there are other ways. The world is offering you virtual sex. That means, you know, 3D sex. They put on the VR headset, and then you buy them that are paired together, and so you and your mate can actually have virtual sex with each other in two different locations using those sets and using some kind of machine, I guess, to put on your genitals, you know, or in your genitals, as the case may be. But is that normal? Is that right? I mean, you know, the Bible doesn't specifically speak exactly against machines, and it is a man and a woman, or it's supposed to be a man and a woman, but they'll probably, now that I think about it, they'll probably use it for men and everything else. But the point is, it takes away that gift that was given to us, that bonding gift, that when we make love with our wives, or wives, you make love with your husband, it's an intimate thing, and it produces something. It produces a child, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift given to us. And look at all the different ways that that gift is being taken away from us and being perverted, you know, with threesomes and foursomes and you know, all these different things that are just not, you know, people even say, well, I can't find in the Bible where it doesn't say I can't do this or can't do that. Well, come on, folks. How much have you read your Bible? If it's destructive to you, then it's not holy. And that's a fact. If it's destructive, it's not holy. You know, if it doesn't glorify God, then why are you doing it in the first place? Everything you do in your life, if it doesn't glorify God, then how can you do it? Because everything is meant to glorify God. Yeah, we have to live in the world, and not everything we do is going to be glorifying God, but that's why Yeshua HaMashiach had to die for our repented sins. You know? And I do strong on repented sins, because you must repent and turn away from those sins. Do your best, not your worst, and say, my worst is okay, because once saved, always saved. You can't do that. Now let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, I've seen on Facebook today, I use Facebook mainly, I don't do with it very much. You will not see anything there that's very personal from us, but I post a lot of, I use it really because somebody talked me into doing it so people could find me and find a radio program, and I didn't realize that if I did it under, that I could have created a page for Prophecy Hour, because I'm kind of dumb to those things, so I created a Pastor Dan Catlin page. Anyway, so I don't get to use it for my family. Now then, having said that, I noticed today a thing over there, and it was a picture, and it was called the Pocket Monster. And it showed all these, it looked like all these, it was a cartoon-like picture, and it had these guys all hunched over, looking at their cell phones, you know, their smartphones, and running around crazy, you know. And so the intent was to call the cell phone the pocket monster, but is it really? It was first the worry of computers, you know. Computers, anything thought that you have in your head, you can type into Google or any one of the search engines, any thought, and there will be somebody has said something about it and find a way to do it. And so the most evilness in the world is there. And that's just in the front side of the computer. You know, that's just the surface of the computer. You know, there's a whole dark net under the surface that people deal in all kinds of things. But we're going back to the cell phone, to that. You see people walking around and they're killing almost, you know, to get cell phones. And in some cities, there are people killed and their cell phones are robbed from them, their iPhones. And I'm sure it's going on around the world. But then you have, what do people use your cell phone for? You know, I know people that text and they're in the same room. So that's getting rid of intimacy. And some people are intimate on it. And some people you say, well, Pastor Dan, I'm listening to your radio program on my cell phone. Well, that's a good thing. But do you also have an app on there so you can read your Bible? How much of your Bible? I mean, how much of your time is consumed with it? You know, do you do it while you're eating dinner? Do you do it while, there you go, do you do it while, do you have a cell phone in the same room with you while you're making love with your partner? I mean, it's really none of my business, but think about it. So many people do because the pictures show up all over the place. And I'm not talking about taking pictures, but that could be part of it. You can find nowadays, you know, you used to have to meet a person and get to know them. And I, over and over and over, you know, people say, well, I'm getting ready to get hooked up or blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how did you meet him? Oh, we met him on the Internet. I met him on the Internet. You know, on the Internet, you can find any kind of sex that you want, threesomes, foursomes, same sex, anything. It can all be found on the Internet and through that pocket monster that you're carrying around with you. Now, to some of you, it isn't really a pocket monster because you're using it for righteous things. Me, I don't have I have a cell phone, and that's what it is. It's a cell phone. It's not a smartphone. It's a cell phone. Guess what? I can talk on it. I can do a little bit of texting on it. I can take a couple of pictures. They're not as good as those other ones. Anyway, so that's what they do, and they can do it all over the place. And somebody posted, said, well, that's probably not worse than meeting on the Internet than meeting in some dive bar at 2 a.m. in the morning. Well, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But at least at that dive bar, there is a difference. You meet somebody, I'm not saying, yeah, let's all go to the bar. What I'm saying to you, that person that you meet at the bar, you might have sit there with them for half the night and you might know who they are. Other people in the bar know who they are. That you've had a visual seeing of them. So at least the person in front of you is the same person that's asking you out. On these apps, you don't know who's going to show up or whether more than one's going to show up when it's just one. So, you know, it really isn't the same. It is a whole new monster. It really is. And I'm not saying that they can't be used for good, but how much time is being spent on that? You know, you can walk into Walmart or someplace and especially, you know, around holiday season time, try this. And a person told me to try it, and I did it, and I got run over almost. You walk into Walmart, and then just stop, and then turn around and look. And you're talking about the month of November and December, and you get run over because all the people are walking straight in, and they're all looking at their cell phone, oblivious to what's in front of them. So if you stop dead, then, you know, you're going to have people running into you. People do that all the time. There's people that I've seen taking selfies that are falling off cliffs, and even worse. And I don't know what can be worse than that, but worse things. So if you're going to use one, it's called a smartphone. Be smart about it. Use it for a certain period of time and then put it down. When you're in the presence of somebody, talk to them, not over the phone. When you go to church, shut it up. Better yet, leave it outside. Leave it outside. Leave it outside. You know, of course, you know, people have been sinning, and they sinned before smartphones came along, but it has, the smartphone has added so much more to that and made it much, much more dangerous. The point is that you should get to know somebody, and let's just go back to this. The whole talk that I'm talking about anyway is the fact that, you know, society is broken down. And you're not looking for relationships, just somebody to make you feel good for a little while. You need relationships that are long lasting. And you can't find that, some have over their smartphones, but you need to be smart about it. Put them down for a while. Don't let this pocket monster guide you. Don't let it turn into a pocket monster. Absolutely. You know? But anyway, I need to go back. I need to talk about the Mission Church. I didn't even talk about that yet today. And so right now, the Wichita Mission Church, we're trying to attempt something. We've been in this building for 9 years at least, and we keep putting things in it and everything. It needs repainted on the inside and on the outside, and we really don't have everything that it takes to do it. But we are going to attempt to do it. We're going to shut down for 5 days, and we are going to attempt to clean and do some painting. If you live in Wichita and you have a skill like painting or know how to lay tile, we need people to do this. And, you know, we also need donations, folks. We really need you to donations. The mission buses broke down, and I was told today that the final thing to get it running is now, after changing a bunch of electronic things, the Wichita mission bus needs a fuel pump, and I looked the fuel pump up. It's about $227 for a fuel pump, so we need a fuel pump and a couple of other things. There's people that count on that mission bus for years and years and years, picking them up and bringing them over. It's been broke down for over a month, about a month and a half, and the people keep calling and say, is the bus running yet? Is the bus running yet? No, the bus isn't running yet. You know, the bus isn't running yet. So we need help to get the donations to get the bus running. We also need, if you live in Wichita, you know how to lay tile, that'd be a help. We've already got the tile. We've had it for a long time. We just need somebody that can lay it. And we could use some donations towards materials and other things that we're going to try to attempt this week. And this is one of those things, we're stepping out in faith. I don't have all of the help that I need. I don't really know that I have absolutely all the money that I need. But we're going to step out in faith and do it. And we're going to start it on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Sunday, we're going to be packing everything up from the rooms. And then Monday is when the real work will start. The other work will. We will have a container placed out back in the parking lot, and we're going to take the contents of the building out and put it into the container, and we need help. So if you want to commit to some labor, you know, if you don't have money and you live in Wichita, you want to commit to some labor, come down Monday afternoon after, say, about 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and we're going to be doing this. We need to have this done by Friday afternoon. The preparation day for Sabbath, we need to have this done by about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, because we want to be done before Sabbath so that we can have our Sabbath service on Friday night. We want to have it completely done, and plus, we can't be shut down and deprive the people that need us. I'm praying that we've got money to make, we're going to, because it's a switch, we want to make have people that will help to make up sandwiches and stuff, so people that do show up looking for food on the normal days, then, you know, we can give them sandwiches. And so that's my prayer, too. So, but we need some money to do that. We need your donation. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Pray about it, folks. We also need King James Version large print Bibles. And as far as this election goes, you know, you need to pray about it, because you're going to be choosing dark or light. America may get another chance. We may get another few years. And you know what? Trump could be really a bad guy in disguise. I don't know. But I do absolutely know what we'll get with Hillary. We'll get anarchy. What you're seeing right now, you're only going to get worse. And even huge tax increases they're proposing. They're going to force more people on welfare. You're going to have an open border, which you already have now, but even worse upon worst. And you actually, according to the way they talk, it's going to be just Obama another term. So pray about it, folks. Really pray about it. And you need to get out and vote. You can do that. Okay, let's see. Well, again, pray about it. You could donate online or mail a check or money order. And all I ask is that you write on those checks or money order. If it's a donation for radio, I need a new screen before that goes out. We got a computer down. So if it's for radio, please make the notations for radio. If it's anything else you want it done for something special, write on the check, or when you donate online, make a note. But we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you bless and keep them, and that you shine your face upon them, and that you're gracious to them, and that you give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.